Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Come on, let's praise Him. Let's worship Him. Father, we thank You, Lord God. Father, we thank You. It is a new season. Father, we thank You. It is a season of power. It is a season of prosperity. Father, we thank You. Things have changed. And Father, they're changing in our favor. Father, we bless You. We glorify You. We magnify You. Father, You are worthy of all praise, honor, and glory. Father, we worship You today. Come on, folks. Let's just all over this building, let's lift our hands and worship God. Father, we worship You. We give You the praise. Father, we come to You in the name of Jesus and only in that name. Father, we approach Your throne. We present our bodies as living sacrifices. Father, we just worship You. You are holy. And Father, we thank You for the day that is upon us. Father, we thank You that things are changing in our favor for the sake of the body of Christ. Father, we bless You. We exalt You. We thank You, Lord God, for the months and the years that are ahead of us. Father, we just thank You that You are performing miracles in our midst. You are the miracle-working God. You are the God who is the power of the Holy Ghost. We thank You, Lord. We bless You, and we thank You always for Your word that feeds our spirit, renews our minds, strengthens our bodies. And Father, as we hear Your word, we'll never be the same again. We just say, Father, have Your way in our midst. We crave, we hunger, we desire the flow of the Holy Spirit in our midst. And Father, You are so faithful and good. We pray that all things today would glorify You. That, Lord God, that we'd be fruitful, that You would receive the glory. And Father, we'll receive it with joy. We'll receive it with praise in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Well, I tell you what, are you glad to be in the house of God here today? Yeah, well, it's so good to see everybody. We just welcome you to Family Church this morning. We just know that you're not here by coincidence. You're here because there is a divine purpose for every one of our lives. Amen. And we just welcome you. For those of you that are visiting here today, my name is Pastor Tim Stallman. I'm the senior pastor here at Family Church. And we know that God's got a great plan for your life, because He tells us over there in Jeremiah 29:11, He says, I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans not to harm you, but to prosper you, to give you hope and a future. God's got a good plan. That doesn't mean that challenges don't come. We know they certainly do. But just know this, when you face them, you can face them with hope. You can face them with faith, to know that God's on your side. Amen. The Bible tells us over there in Romans chapter 8, several verses there. But of course, verse 31 says, if God be for you, who or what can be against you? Right? And then verse 32 goes on to say, if He spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not also in Him freely provide all things? Amen. God's a provider. He is a problem solver. He is always a solution and your answer. He's on your side. He's not against you in any way. Of course, we have to cooperate with Him. And of course, we do that by finding His plan and His will in the Bible. We cannot invent our own plans and expect God to bless them. So we just get into God's plan because it's already blessed. Listen, we'll do whatever this word tells us to do. All right. If it, whether it challenges or corrects us, it also instructs and encourages. Listen, let's not lose sight, especially in this season when there is so much going on. You know, there's a lot of busyness. There's a lot of obligations. There's a lot of responsibility. Let's make sure that we are seeking God's plan first. Always God's plan. And let's know what He wants to do on this earth, and let's run with that. Amen. So I just trust that you're going to find Family Church a warm and welcoming place here today. And I certainly am glad to be back. I know I just missed one service here Wednesday night, and it sounds like I missed a real humdinger. Praise the Lord. But I've been suffering for Jesus all week in Southern California, you know, and I think the weather's been pretty merciful to us here, but it was really merciful there in Southern California. I was there teaching in a Bible school all week. Praise God, this will be my 19th sermon this week, right here. Glory to God. And you say, well, Pastor, do you have anything left? Yeah, the best is left for last. Amen. Amen. Last for this week. And so I've just been honored to be preaching the word all week. And I have a message from heaven today. And I'm excited. We've already started singing about it with the last song. Our worship team is such a blessing. What God is doing in this day and this hour. And we'll be glad to know about it and hear about it. Amen. Folks, don't forget our Christmas service is Friday the 23rd. I know Pastor Brad already announced these things. I just like to remind and rehash them. Remember, it's Friday night. We are not having service on Sunday the 25th, Christmas morning. We're going to have our service Friday night at 7 p.m. What an opportunity to get friends and family. I know we're pretty full right now, but let's just pack it shoulder to shoulder. We'll get out extra chairs if we have to. Amen. It's a good thing. Praise the Lord. Who's ready for the Word of God? Turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. I'm going to call this message this morning, A New Season is Upon Us. A New Season is Upon Us. Go to Galatians chapter 6, all right? And we're going to go to verse 9. This is a familiar passage of Scripture for us, but we're going to look at it to get a Bible definition of what a season is. Of course, naturally, we know that there are changes of seasons, right? We go from summer to fall to winter, and then some more winter, and then a little bit more winter, and then just when you think winter is over, we have a little bit more winter, and then spring again, praise the Lord. And every season, of course, has its changes. But how many of you know that in the Bible, the word season isn't just talking about, you know, leaves changing color and, you know, things just growing on this earth? God has a definition of a season, and we're going to take a look at what it is. And I'm here to declare to you, to this church, not only myself, but other men and women of God have been sensing and have realized that something has changed on behalf of the church. There's something in the realm of God. There's something in the realm of the Spirit. There's something that God is doing in these next months and years ahead that has changed in favor for the body of Christ. I don't mean just the family churches. I don't mean, you know, just folks that we're affiliated. It is for the body of Christ. If the body of Christ will receive it, if the body of Christ will move in the direction that God wants us to move, something has opened to us. Something has changed. A season, and of course, if you've been around here this past year, at any given time, we've had utterance of the Holy Spirit. We've had prophecies and things that have come forth talking about a season, talking about trials and troubles that would be under the bridge and going across that bridge. And on the other side, there was a new season. We've been talking about that. We've seen that 2016, there's been a lot of challenges, a lot of trials coming against people. But what that is just trying to keep you out of what is now upon our doorstep. Praise the Lord. So I'm here to tell you, if you'll flow with it, if you'll see in not just 2017, but even years beyond that, God is going to be doing some very special things in our midst, but in the midst of any local church that will flow with the word and spirit. Amen. And so let's go to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, and let's look at what God says a season is. Verse 9, I'm reading in the King James to start. It says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, everyone say due season. In due season we shall reap if we faint not. And of course, the Bible's telling us right here, don't grow weary in well-doing. What does that mean? It means that Christians often get tempted to be discouraged with doing the same things for God over and over and over without seeing an immediate result or change. All right? And that happens in the life of a believer. You know, that's what faithfulness is. That's what endurance is that, you know, you stay faithful and you do what God's word says, even if it doesn't all change tomorrow. If it doesn't all change this week or this month, we stay faithful. God is letting us know there's going to come times when it seems like nothing is happening. You know, where it seems like routine is wearing thin. But notice this, if you're going to reap with God, if you're going to come upon your due season, you're going to have to stay faithful even through the times when it feels weary. Even when it feels like, you know, I want to give up and I don't want to go this way or the routine or whatever, the devil will try to tempt you with boredom in God. You know what I mean? Try to produce a consumer mentality in Christians, you know, a mentality of novelty where I just got to go and I got to skip around and find the latest and greatest thing. No, when you stay faithful, and don't grow weary in well-doing, you're going to reap. Because notice there is a due season. That word due season means literally an appointed time. Here's what we must understand about God is that He works in appointed times. Meaning He sets up ahead of time, time frames in our world, right, in our lives, where if, you know, when we stay faithful, when we've sown like we're supposed to sow and, you know, do what we're supposed to do, we're going to move into His appointed time. All right, let me show you this in the Amplified Bible. Galatians 6, 9 in the Amplified says, "Let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right." All right, just keep doing what you know to do. Stay faithful. Say, well, Pastor, there's just so much routine in following God, week in, week out. That's right. Because you know why? There's a lot of routine in farming. All right? You know, there's a lot of plowing the ground, tilling the soil, planting the seed, watering the seed, getting the weeds out. There's a lot of that. But you know what also is part of the routine of farming? The harvest. Listen, you know, every farmer knows that not every season is harvest season. Not every part and aspect of growing a harvest is easy or fun, so to speak. You know, a farmer is someone, they wake up, they get to work in seasons. You know, they understand it's planting season. They get up before everybody else. They go to bed after everybody else, right? They meticulously care for that land. They care for that crop, right? Because they know that in due season, at the appointed time, the harvest is going to show up. Praise the Lord for that. All right? And I'm telling you, the body of Christ is right on the doorstep now of a new season and an appointed time of God. It says, "For in due time and at the appointed season, we shall reap, if we do not loosen and relax our courage and faint." Of course, the devil can sense this. He can sense and understand. He sees that appointed time, and there's nothing he can do to close that door. All right, and so he sees the body of Christ moving and moving and moving closer to that appointed time, and he rushes in with the trials. He rushes in with the attacks on people's thought. He rushes in to try to make them feel indifferent towards the plan of God and, you know, routine and getting bored with God. He's doing that to prevent you from walking into the appointed time. And I'm telling you that the appointed time has begun. The appointed time has begun. Praise the Lord. But of course, the devil is going to try to do what? He's going to try to get people to relax and loosen their courage. He's going to try to turn the church casual. He's going to try to turn people's attitudes casual. He's going to try to get them distracted. Oh, it doesn't matter, you know. Oh, I got a lot to do today. Oh, my hobbies. Oh, my business. Oh, I got this coming up. Listen, if you show the devil that you can easily be moved by something that just comes up, well, this just kind of came up. I don't mean that your car broke down on the way to church, something you can't change. You know what I mean? But I'm talking about like, well, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do that instead of going to church. Listen, if that's all it takes, if you show the devil that that's how easy you can be moved, that is what you're going to invite upon your life nonstop. He is going to always create something in the way. Oh, see, it's like this. It's like, you know, we can train dogs, but the devil can be trained too. Once he gets an idea of what moves you, what pushes you, he's like, oh, he learns, he gets trained of what is effective against you, and that's what he's going to keep bringing. You're going to have to stand up, and you're going to have to tell him, I'm not going to be moved by a distraction. I'm not going to grow weary in, I'm not growing weary in my church attendance. I'm not growing weary in my tithing. I'm not growing weary in my praise.
I'm not growing weary in my serving. Because why? There's an appointed time. Meaning God already exists in your future. He's there right now, and he's calling out from that time, don't miss this. Don't miss it, because it's appointed. It's an act of God's sovereignty. Yeah, glory to God. Now go with me to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. Praise the Lord. Daniel is right there in the Old Testament, right before all the pages in your Bible are still crunchy and new. Right? Right back there. Daniel's the last book before you get to the minor prophets. All right? And every time they probably hear that in heaven, the minor prophets say, there's nothing minor about us. You know, Obadiah. You know, Obadiah, Zechariah, Hosea, Habakkuk. I'm sure you're reading Habakkuk on a daily basis. Hey, Habakkuk chapter 2. That's an awesome chapter. But like I say all the time, you better read Habakkuk, because you're going to run into him in heaven. And he's going to ask you, did you read my book? And you're going to look at him and say, no, sorry. I just happened to miss that page. I happened to miss that page. And Habakkuk, you're going to spend eternity feeling awkward every time you run into him. And he's going to see you walking on the streets of gold. He's going to look over. He's going to give you one of these. I'm kidding. I'm having fun. But Daniel chapter 2. We're all familiar with Daniel the prophet. And of course, you know, Daniel was used mightily to interpret visions of kings. God gave him revelation concerning different times and seasons upon the earth. Right? Daniel served from the time he was a teenager until he was well into his 80s. He was there when Nebuchadnezzar came into power. He was there when he served four different kings, all right, in two different kingdoms, all right? And, of course, my history is being tested. I believe it was Nebuchadnezzar, was it Darius, Cyrus, and, oh, wait, Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Darius, Cyrus. I might have those out of order. But he served under different regime changes in his government. And it was not the government of Israel, it was the government of these wicked civilizations, all right? But Daniel stayed faithful, and he understood what God was doing in the land and doing for God's people. Let's pick it up in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 20. This is after Daniel had interpreted the dreams of Nebuchadnezzar, which in earth's history was one of the most powerful kings that this earth has ever seen. All right, Nebuchadnezzar ruled Babylon in the height of its power, and it was one of, and still is in our history, one of the most powerful empires this earth has ever seen. And so Daniel is now responding to what God has revealed to him, and Daniel makes some really interesting statements about what God does. And in verse 20, in Daniel chapter 2, verse 20, it says, Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. Well, we certainly could say that. And of course, Daniel's talking about God the Father. And in verse 21, he says, and he, God, changes the times and the seasons. Everyone say seasons. He changes the seasons. And he's not just talking about the leaves turning different colors and the snow coming. He's talking about seasons in the realm of the Spirit, an appointed time for God's people. It says this, he changes the times and the season. He removes kings and he sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He said, when you have knowledge and understanding of God, you're going to know and see when these seasons are upon you. All right? A season does no good without knowledge and understanding. Because people without knowledge and spiritual insight, they will not recognize when a new season is upon us. A lot of Christians today have allowed themselves to become so spiritually dull that they don't know and understand what God is doing in the earth and what he's doing in the realm of the Spirit and what he's doing for the sake of the church. You know, the Lord started speaking to me and dealing with me about this, and I started wondering, is there anyone preaching this? I want to make sure to check myself with other men and women of God. Are they hearing this? And since then, I've had an opportunity to speak to several men and women of God, men and women of prayer, ministers in the body of Christ. And, you know, we start comparing notes, and I'll tell you what, God is saying the same thing. Amen. He's saying the same thing. I had a chance to minister a message like this this past Tuesday night in California at their midweek service. And, of course, Pastor Nancy Dufresne was there, and Pastor Noel Ramos and his wife, who are used so mightily of God. And, of course, I preached this, and afterwards, Pastor Noel Ramos, he came up to me. Now, he was the one that traveled with Dr. Dufresne all the time. He's the one that just leads a mighty prayer ministry. And he came up to me after I got done preaching this message. He said, you know, several months ago, God spoke to me and told me exactly what you just got done preaching. I said, well, praise the Lord. And then, of course, I talked to Pastor Nancy afterwards. And she said, yeah, that's absolutely right. That's what God's saying. And, of course, it's always a little intimidating preaching in front of Pastor Nancy because you know how high in regard that I hold her in her ministry and how smart she is, how keen she is in the Spirit. And so I knew I heard from heaven that I was to start preaching this message. And it's always better when it gets confirmed, all right, than denied. And so this is what God is doing. But notice in verse 21, it talks about that he changes the times and the seasons. What are the seasons? The appointed time of God for God's people. All right? He said he is changing the times and the seasons. What does God do? And these seasons might include this, the setting up of kings. We in our nation, we don't have a king. Aren't you glad? We have a president, okay? And we don't. We might use that word interchangeably. It's just talking about civic leadership. God sets up civic leadership, right? Or he removes civic leadership and sets it up. Folks, I am not here to preach about the results of this election. I am here not to ask you what your preference was or my preference. I'm not here to celebrate if your guy got in, and I'm not here to beat up on anybody if your gal lost, all right? We as the body of Christ, we are not political. I am not a political scientist. I am not here to get a political agenda. I don't belong to the Republican Party. I don't belong to the Democrat Party, all right? Donald Trump, our new president, he's still not a savior, right? We as a church are the ones that still have the answers. We have the gospel, amen? But what God did, something happened in this past election, folks, and God got involved. Say, well, Pastor, you're saying God voted for Donald Trump. No, I'm not saying that. The election itself is not the change of the season, but it is the result, or it is just one of many byproducts of what God is doing in this earth, that he reached down and God got involved with the affairs of man and with the governments of man, and God reached down into our system, and he made a change. And he changed it, and it shocked the world. If you wonder how shocked the world was, every news agency, every pollster, all the reporting worldwide just thought, it's not going to happen, not going to happen. It's over before it gets started. Why even, you know, have the vote? And then something shocking happened, is that an election, all the polls were wrong, all the pundits were wrong, all the predictions were wrong. I wasn't that surprised, but I mean, the world was just shocked. And the Spirit of God said to me 2 years ago, before there were any other candidates in the race, and technically Hillary Clinton wasn't in the race yet either, but everyone knew she was going to be the Democratic candidate. And I was praying about the idea that she would become president in our country. And I was praying and I was seeking God, and I was right here walking this floor in our prayer time. And I was praying in other tongues and speaking to God, and I knew I was praying regarding the election that was still 2 years away. And the Spirit of God spoke up to me and said, there is coming a surprise regarding Hillary Clinton. There is coming a surprise. And I instantly, I discerned that as she's not going to become president. And I had wondered if something was going to happen to her. I didn't want that to happen. I didn't want harm or something. But I didn't fully know what that was until about 3 o'clock in the morning on election day. And I just thought it was going to be close no matter what. But the world thought it was a done deal. They thought it was just over. And what happened was that God reached in to the governments of man and he changed the time and the season. And he proved to the world that he is still the one that sets up civic leaders and ones that take, you know, people just thought, well, it's out of the hands of God. No, it was not out of the hands of God. God intervened. And you're saying, well, God, you're saying that God just, you know, voted for Donald Trump. No. We have to understand that there's reasons and seasons for the changes in our government. God needed a new atmosphere. He needed somebody in the White House and in the administration that was going to get some things out of the way for the sake of the church. Why does God change seasons like this? He does it for the sake of his people. It's not like we didn't get, you know, it's not because whether your person won or lost, that doesn't matter. It's what God is doing in this earth. And he was establishing something and he's going to change the season where now where the wind used to be in the face of the church, the wind is now going to be at our back. Glory to God. That resistance that the church has faced over this last decade and before, I'll tell you what, God is reaching in and he's changing that season. And he's going to take that resistance that was in our face and it's now going to be propelling us forward. Glory to God. He says he removes kings. He sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise, knowledge to them that know understanding. He's saying, don't miss the knowledge. Don't miss understanding what new season we're in. And no, it's not about politics. That election and the results of that election, that itself is not the change of the season. That was just one necessary part to in the government of man to make things better for the sake of the church. I am telling you, there's something that God is doing. He's, you know, the election is just one part of it that he's doing for the sake of God's people. And listen, even the people that don't like the new president, that didn't vote for him or whatever, it's going to benefit them. It's going to benefit them. It's going to benefit. And like I said, listen, if you're sitting here thinking, well, Pastor Tim's just celebrating the results of the election, I'm not. I'm here to tell you what season now is upon the body of Christ. And it's not because the election happened, all right? The election happened because the season that's for us first and foremost. Right? Amen. Praise the Lord. And so God did a very shocking thing. The surprise. I started seeing all the news articles and the news headlines. A shocking surprise. Trump surprisingly wins. The word surprise and shock was on the page of every newspaper, every internet news site. It was all there, and I started realizing that's the surprise. There it is, a shock to the world that God intervened for the sake of people. And you say, well, Pastor, are you trying to say that our next president is some great spiritual dynamo? No, I don't believe he is. I don't believe we're dealing with somebody that is on their face before God all day. I don't think that's probably even close to the situation. It's not about that. It's not about our preferences. It's for the sake of the church. And now I'm going to start talking about what God's going to do in the days ahead. Praise the Lord. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. There is a new season upon us. And it's not because it's an election. It's because there was appointed season. That God's going to do something. Amen. God is changing the atmosphere in the government, the spiritual influence to make way, to get things out of the way for the church, so the church can start receiving some things. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It is for the people of God. Yes, it was for, you know, you could say it's for our nation, it's for political things, but no. First and foremost, you are the priority of God on this earth. Do you understand that? You are the priority of God on this earth. You are his children. You are his family. And when he intervenes, he does it first and foremost for your sake. Listen, I got to keep saying this because in any church, when you have this amount of people, when you talk about politics, you're just inviting to get discord. All right? Get people arguing and fighting and strifing. But here's the thing. I'm not talking about politics. I'm not a political figure. I don't endorse candidates from this pulpit. I don't preach what people should do and who they should vote for. You should always vote, of course, for the principles that are closest to the Word of God. All right. But listen, regardless of what side you were on, you are first and foremost on the side of God's people and the church. Amen. And there's some things that are going to start happening for the church. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Yeah. I'll tell you what, the wind that was in our face is now on our, at our back, and it's not just because we have a new president. It's not. That's just one aspect of it. It's because God has changed the season, and things are going to start happening in the favor of the church. And you got to decide right now, are you going to be part of it?
Yes.
Are you going to be part of it? Praise the Lord. Deuteronomy 28, let's go to verse 11. How many of you know there were seasons for the nation of Israel in the Old Testament? And Deuteronomy 28 is God telling them, a new season is coming for you if you will hearken diligently to the voice of God. And he starts telling them what's going to happen in that season if they will obey God. Now, how many of you know we have Hebrews 8:6 that tells us that we have a better covenant with better promises even in this day in the New Testament than they did in the Old Testament? Meaning if God made a good promise in the Old Testament, the promises of the New Testament are even better. So when we look at a good promise in the Old Testament, it's even better in the New. All right? All right. And so he tells them, he tells Israel this. And listen, I'm going to just tell you right now, sometimes when you preach the abundance of God, there's people that get upset about it. They get people get upset and say, well, I'm not living in the abundance of God. Well, listen, God's trying to take you into his abundance. He's not trying to be against you. He's for you. And listen, if I enjoy seeing you prosper, how much more does God the Father enjoy his people prosper? Right? Amen. Yeah, well, you know Psalm 35, 27. Let them shout for joy and be glad, them that favor my righteous cause. Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. And those were just his employees. A good business owner loves to see his employees flourish. How much more do you want to see your children flourish? Listen, I'm not preaching my opinion. I'm preaching the word. So people get upset about it because they start to think, well, we're promoting just following God for money. No, 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 no. If you're following God for money, you're in idolatry. And you got a big, big problem. You don't go to church to get money. You don't serve God just so you have more money. But when you serve God, he is going to faithfully provide for you. Amen. Look at verse 11. In the King James, it says, The Lord, the Lord shall make you plenteous in goods. He's telling Israel, a new season is upon you. And in this new season, you're going to be plenteous in goods. He says, in the fruit of your body, the fruit of your cattle, which was their business. I'll tell you what, it's time to see Christian businesses come to the top. God's going to raise up businesses for the sake of the body of Christ, where there will be Christians at the helm of those things. They will love to be funding the gospel. He says in verse 11, the fruit of your cattle, the fruit of your ground, and the land which the Lord swear unto thy fathers to give thee. Look at verse 11 in the Amplified Bible. The Amplified Bible brings out the original language of the Old Testament, which is Hebrew. Hebrew is a much more in-depth language than English. And so the Amplified tries to give words that will best represent what God was saying in the original language. Deuteronomy 28:11 in the Amplified says, and the Lord shall make you have a surplus of prosperity. I thought the word prosperity in and of itself meant surplus. It says you're going to have a surplus of surplus. You know, you say, Pastor, you're just preaching this for a happy message. Well, you haven't been here long enough then. Because I don't preach messages that are just happy. I preach what the Spirit is saying to the church. Revelation 2:29, Jesus said, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Amen. And God tells Israel, he's like, you're going to come into a season where there's going to be a surplus of prosperity through the fruit of your body. And notice what prosperity is. Notice it's not just a money thing. He says the fruit of your body. You're going to move into a healthier time in your life, a stronger time in your life. He says the fruit of your livestock. That's not just for farmers. That was the predominant business of the day. He said, I'm going to make your body fruitful. I am going to make your business fruitful. And your ground is going to be fruitful. And the land which the Lord sware to your fathers to give you, I'm going to fill it with a surplus of prosperity. Now, of course, we have to understand, what is that surplus for? It's for the season. It's for what? The sake of God's people. If we think we're here to preach some selfish gospel where we stand in the light of God's prosperity and move into his abundance and say, it's just for me. No. I know this. That when I became a Christian, I became a kingdom funder. Listen, I believe that every Christian should sit around and daydream about paying off their church. We should sit around and daydream about starting new churches. What's it going to look like when the body of Christ has a surplus of prosperity? What are we going to do when this building's paid off and all these churches are paid off? Imagine going to our brothers and sisters in this town and this county and seeing a good work that they're doing and say, oh, by the way, can we pay off your building? Don't you want to do that? Didn't we get to do that? Didn't we do that with the Wellsville Church? Remember the building that came up for sale, long story short? They approached us years ago to purchase. We went out there. We looked at this church. They were going out, and they ended up donating this church property to the television network that I worked with, TCT. And they came to us and said, hey, we got this church property. I'd already seen it before. I've been there. And they said, hey, will you want to buy it from the network? I said, oh, really? How much? Because I felt like when I was in that building years ago, I knew that Family Church had a purpose in that building. And when some things fell apart, I always wondered, I'm like, man, we sure had a purpose in that building. What happened there? Well, then all of a sudden it came full circle and was being offered to us again. And I said, well, how much? It's just a small, a smaller church building. It's got it had a lot of potential. Of course, now it's living in that potential. And they said, well, $70,000. It's a real bargain for $70,000. I said, well, yeah, I'm not saying that's a bad price, but no, that's not it. They came back, several weeks later. Hey, how about $50,000? Well, that's sure in the right direction, but no, that doesn't sit right. Came back several, weeks, months later, whatever it was. How about $35,000? No, we're certainly good, moving in a good direction, but no, it just doesn't sit right. And finally, one of their executives got a hold of me and said, all right, what would you give? What is the number you're thinking? And we said, how about $10,000? No, Pastor, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. I said, well, not just $10,000, but you have to pay for the legal side. We will give $10,000. Done deal, not a penny more. No, we're not doing that. Okay. Not trying to insult you, but that feels good. The building's going to need a lot of work and whatever. Okay. Well, get a call back a couple days later. Are you really going to give that $10,000? I said, $10,000, not a penny more, no legal fees and everything. And he said, we'll take it. And so what did we do? What did we do? Well, we raised the money, $10,000. Here you go. A paid off building for a church from day one. Yeah, and of course they came in, they did the renovations, and they paid for that. But I mean, that was just a small taste of how good it feels and how good it's gonna feel. As the body of Christ moves into this season and things are going to start happening where we can do more and more like that, where we see a church that's starting, and it doesn't even have to be a family church. Yeah, glory to God. I mean, wouldn't it be awesome to walk in and just say, hey, it's on our hearts as a church family with our brothers and sisters. You're doing a good thing over here. You are sincere about the gospel. Let's pay off your ministry. What would a church ministry look like when they have no mortgage, no debt? Think of the tens of thousands of dollars every month, what we could do for the gospel in our community. Praise the Lord. Well, that's going to happen when the Lord makes you plenteous in goods. And, you know, it's not just say, well, it's because of my stuff. I just want my stuff. And I'm just going to, the only thing I'm going to do is tithe. You know, tithing is just what God says is mandatory. That is the least of being faithful to God with finances. Amen. I tell you what, I don't have a daydream of just bringing my tithe. I have a dream, a goal, a vision of wanting, if it meant that I personally could pay off these ministries, I'd do it. I'd do it. Praise the Lord. Because no one's going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ one day and say, boy, you know what? You're right, Jesus. I gave too much to the plan of God. I wanted to fund your kingdom. You know, I really should have held back on that. Praise the Lord. God is going to move you into plenty, but he's doing so for all of his people, not just you. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that when one member of the body prospers, we all prosper. Yes. Amen. I love to see you prosper, and I'm not talking about just in the fruit of your finances, in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your joy, in the fruit of what God's doing in your life. I am here to have your back and to watch you prosper. Amen. Praise the Lord. But notice in verse 12, he tells us there, it says, the Lord shall open unto you. The Lord shall open unto you. Everyone say open. Open refers to what God does. God's going to open something. He says, I'm going to open a season over you. It's not nothing that you can earn. It's nothing because what you have done. He said, I'm going to open it. And Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, he said, I am he that opens doors that no man can shut. Remember what Jesus said? When God opens something, no one, no human being is going to shut it. The Democrats aren't going to shut it. The Republicans aren't going to shut it. Political agendas aren't going to shut it, right? The Senate, the Congress, the foreign governments, nothing on this earth is going to shut when God opens a window or a door for his people. Glory to God. And he says, the Lord shall open unto you his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto your land in a season, and to bless all the work of your hands. Notice it doesn't mean they're not, he's not telling them that they're going to be doing something different in their work. Their work might stay the same. The routine might stay the same, but now there's going to be blessing on it. And now you're going to be doing the same thing, but yet more is going to start coming in. Yeah. He says, now I'm going to put a blessing on the work of your hands. It might even be the same work you've been doing. It might be that same business you've been doing. And what once seemed like there was all this resistance in your face is now going to propel you forward at your back. Hallelujah. Boy, don't get too excited about that. He said, I'm going to open something to you. He said, I'm going to bless all the work that you're doing. And now you shall lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. How long has it been that the people of God have always been the borrower, at subject of the feet of the lenders? And God has, just like he moved down and he has changed the season and he reversed that tide in our government, he is now going to reverse the winds. Yeah, from once, you know, we're living as the borrower and we're always looking at the lender, it is going to turn around. Glory to God. And the church that has been the borrower is going to become the lender. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is changing the times. He's changing the season. What does that mean? It's going to be different than the last one. Because this last season, it seems like it's been nothing but hindrances, wind in the face, trials, boom, 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 just pounding on people. And all of a sudden, the trade winds are going to begin to blow. I'm a former sailor, not a Navy sailor, but a recreational private. I had my private captain's license. A lot of you know that story. And, of course, I read a lot of literature about sailing. I like to read the old school stories of the golden age of sail, you know, when there was no diesel engines, you know, there was no nuclear power plants. you just had, you know, a tall ship and a star to steer her by. You know what I mean? I love reading stories like that. And of course, I read a lot of it. And you have to understand, around the earth, of course, there's different seasons and there's different winds that are more favorable for sail travel. And they would wait, if they were sailing across the ocean, they would wait until the season kicked in and the trade winds would pick up. And that would be winds that weren't in your face any longer, but the season would change and the winds would shift. And they would now fill your sails from behind the ship instead of in front of the ship. Right. All right? And it now became easier to get to places that were once hard to get to. Right. You could say it this way. They waited for the different season so things would accelerate. Yeah. Yeah. Where it used to take, 10 measures of effort, 10 steps to get somewhere, you're going to get to the same place in 5.
Yeah. That's good.
Glory to God. Because when God opens a door and starts pouring out plenty upon his people, hallelujah, glory to God, this is a season of God. It is an appointed time, all right? It is also wonderful that it's coinciding with a new year. It is coinciding with a lot of things that are happening here at Family Church, but it's not about Family Church, it's about the body of Christ. Amen. And what God opens, no man can shut it. The only hindrance to an open door of God can be if the church won't run with it.
Yeah, come on, that's right.
If the church won't flow. There's been many plans of God that the church has aborted over the years. I'll tell you what, we're upon a great, great season, and we're not going to abort it. And I'm going to tell you now some things that we're going to be looking for. I'll tell you what, we've lived in a day, in a season, where churches, not just this one, but a lot of sincere gospel ministries had been living in a time, in a season, where we always have projects waiting for the money. You know, we have a lot to do. We have churches to plant. We have, missionaries to fund. We have all this stuff to do, but we're always waiting for the money to come in before we can do them. God's going to reverse that scenario. Whereas we were once sitting on projects waiting for the money, we're going to be sitting on money waiting for the projects. Glory to God. There will be surplus. And we'll, instead of saying, God, we need money to do this, it's going to be like, God, we have this surplus. What do you want us to do with it? What churches do you want us to go and pay off? What missionaries do you want us to send? What outreaches do you want us to hold? There's a time where the church is no longer going to be the tail. We're going to be the head, not the tail. We're going to be above, not beneath. Praise the Lord. Because I'll tell you what, the return of Jesus is getting closer, and there are lost souls out there that are waiting for the church to have resources to go out and get them. Yes. Amen. So, Pastor, well, I don't know about all this. Well, I'll say this. If you sit around and you think that a season like this isn't pleasant to you, then sit on the sideline and miss it. Because I'll tell you what, the season will pass you by. But those skilled sailors, they noticed. They said, hey, the season has changed. The wind is in our favor. Now it's time to go. And the others would sit there and say, oh, I don't know. Well, they're going to be waiting on the shore while the other ones go and make the discovery first. Praise the Lord. Yep, there's something open. When God opens it, no man can shut it. I'll tell you what, and it's open to us. Amen. Let me tell you now some things here to look for in this new season. Go to Acts chapter 4, because I'm going to give you a little hint. This might be new to us in the sense that we are here on this earth in this time. It's a new season, but it's not like God hasn't done this before. God has done this before. Oh my goodness. Pastor, how do I make sure that I don't miss this season? Get involved. Get involved with where you're at now. So many people, Acts chapter 4, we're going to get over there starting in verse 31. Acts chapter 4, so many people are waiting for something to happen before they will get involved with what God's doing. Folks, how many of you want to do good things for people in your family? How many of you want to be a blessing to your parents? or a sibling or something. And that good thing might be just paying something off for them or being a financial blessing to them. I'll tell you what, if your parents are still here on this earth, every child should have a desire to do something great for their parents. That's honor. Amen. Praise the Lord. We should have a desire to do things like that for our parents or for our family. Or if you're older and your children are all grown up, it's a good desire to want to do good for them. All right? But what if the church is never sitting on any of that surplus? You know what I mean? I mean, think about how many hearts are going to be moved, you know, when you are a blessing to them personally. I'll tell you what, there's people that have criticized you, that have maligned you for your faith, that you will be generous to. And your generosity is going to speak to their heart and change their heart. And all of a sudden, all their criticisms are going to fall short. Come on, because you've been a blessing to them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's talk about the first thing to look for in this new season. Number one, financial breakthrough. Acts chapter 4, like I said, God's done this before. Verse 31, this is, of course, the early days of the church. How many of you know that the church here in the book of Acts is the same church that's here today? We have the same name of Jesus. We have the same blood of Jesus. We have the same word of God. We have the same Holy Ghost. All right? Nothing has changed. The church then is the church now. All right? The only thing that would change, God's will hasn't changed, but the willingness of people have changed. I'll tell you what. When you're desiring and hungry for God, a message like this should fire you up. But if you're just playing church status quo, if you're just playing, well, I'm just here to get my credit and go home. God doesn't deal on credit. He doesn't. He deals on participation. You know, and that's what we need to do. We need to break into new levels. If you want to, if you daydream about blessing your parents, all right, start blessing them now. So, well, Pastor, I only have $10 to bless my parents with, and that just doesn't seem like what I'm daydreaming about. No, you know what I mean by daydreams? Let me put it in the godly terms, vision. Vision. Can we bring up a scripture, Proverbs 29:18, real quick? I just want to show you what I'm talking about in the Bible. God, you know, what we call daydreams and things that we just desire to do, we call them on this earth pipe dreams. Well, God's got a name for it. It's called vision. In the Bible, in Proverbs 29:18, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Meaning God's plan goes unfulfilled when there's no vision. The world calls it a goal. God calls it vision. That means the ability to see ahead of time what you want to do for God. All right? Do you have some vision to bless some people? Right? Do you have some vision in your business? Do you have some vision in your home? All right? Well, if you're sitting around having vision about blessing your parents, well, you're going to have to put a little action to that vision. If you want that vision to come to pass, you got to show God that you're going to move on it now. Listen, it might only start with 10 bucks. Say, God, I'm going to start blessing my parents every month or every week or whatever it is. I'm going to start giving them 10 bucks a week. And they might at first be like, oh, well, thank you. You know, maybe it'll be a lot to them. Maybe it'll be not a lot to them. That does not matter. All right? As you start there and you start saying, all right, I'm going to break into the next level. I'm going to break in when instead of $10 bills, it's going to be $20 bills to my parents. And then I'm going to keep pushing that level and I'm going to break through the ceiling of every level. You know, giving is like that. Not just to people personally. Giving is like that to your church. Every year, my wife and I, we purpose to break through a new level. You know, if your vision is to start giving hundreds, well, got to start somewhere. You know, and then you break through that level, you say, all right, praise God, I'm going to believe God to give thousands. You know, and each level beyond that. So many Christians have a lottery mentality. I'll wait until it's easy to give is what they're saying. I'll wait to give out of abundance. No. Giving produces abundance. That's like a farmer saying, I'm going to sow some seed once I get the harvest. No, harvest doesn't produce seed as much as seed produces harvest. You got it backwards. Oh, praise the Lord. Because with every revival and every new season of God, he is going to use supernatural elements to fund it. Praise the Lord. Start breaking into new levels of giving. I don't care if it's given to people you love and care about, giving into new levels, you know, to the church. And if you're visiting from another church, go to that church and do it there. This is not a family church idea. God is going to raise up supernaturally people that have that heart. Because why? He did it before. He's going to do it again. How many of you want to see the miracles of the book of Acts? I want to see them. How many of you want to see dramatic healings? I want to see them. You know, but then we say, all right, well, we want all those signs and wonders and miracles. Well, but do we want to see this as well? Because this was going on in the midst. Are you ready? Verse 31, it says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken. And by the way, there is anywhere between 5,000 and 8,000 people there. This isn't talking about a group of 10 people. This is thousands. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. Where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, Pastor, I thought that they were filled in Acts 2:4. Yeah, Acts 2:4 was the initial filling, but how many of you know there's many fresh fillings? Being full of the Holy Ghost. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Boldness. See, speaking in tongues is the initial evidence of being filled with the Spirit, but it's not the only evidence. All right, there's also evidences of the Holy Ghost that come after, and one of them is boldness. What is boldness? No longer ashamed. No longer ashamed. No longer ashamed to stand and give praise. No longer ashamed to shout in church. No longer ashamed to dance under the Spirit of God. No longer ashamed to go for a run if the Spirit's moving you, you know? Come on now. They were no longer ashamed. Verse 32, and it says, in the multitude of them, multitude, not the small group, 5,000 to 8,000 people that believed were of one heart and of one soul. See, here's another evidence of being filled with the Spirit. They loved their local church. They were all 5,000 to 8,000 people, all agreeing, all loving and choosing to love being together. I'll tell you what, people that sit around and gripe about their local church, that song was too loud. I heard that song 2 weeks ago. Or that nursery worker did this. Or I don't like those fake Christmas trees. Why don't we use real Christmas trees? Well, praise the Lord. If you want to donate some 20-foot real Christmas trees and set them up and go to work and go cut them down, we'll let you. Praise the Lord. But you know, people, why this, why that? See, people that complain about their local church, they're not filled with the Spirit. Amen. Oh, ouch. See, we thought that we could complain about our church like we do Burger King. Listen, if you're upset because they left the pickles on when you told them to take the pickles off, I don't care. Gripe all you want about Burger King. And listen, is this the perfect church? No, it's not. Will there be stuff at times? Of course. See, ministry would be easy if it wasn't for people. But as long as there's people on this earth doing people stuff, there's always going to be someone that gets in your craw. Well, do the favor. Don't remove the person. Remove the craw. Just tell yourself, I don't got a craw. Oh. We'll see how that one stands the test of time. Great notable quotes from Pastor Tim Stallman. Don't get rid of the person, get rid of the craw. Praise the Lord. All right, here we got to move on. He says, and it says there in verse 32, they were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things or any of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Here's another evidence of being filled with the Holy Ghost. You start to understand that you're now a steward of God's kingdom. The early church, they got saved, they got filled with the Holy Ghost, and instantly they said, now everything I have is now for the service of God's kingdom. What did that mean? As soon as they got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, they became kingdom funders. Kingdom funders. Kingdom builders. People, if that's why I say, if Christians don't sit around daydreaming about funding the gospel, they're probably living unfull of the Spirit of God. They're not filled, because when you're filled, you say, man, I want to do this for God. I want to do this. I want to do this. It motivates everything you do in life. Yep. Yeah, oh, Pastor, I feel like I'm getting corrected. Well, rejoice, because God is trying to get you under this open season. It's open season on Christians. But it's a different kind of open season now. Yeah, praise the Lord. Instead of just being the target of everything, we're going to be the recipients of God's blessing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, and now look at the next four words in verse 33, and with great power. The church of God on this earth wants to see his great power, but are they living full of the Spirit? Are they kingdom providers? Yeah. It says, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And notice this, and great grace was upon all of them. When God's grace is the ability to carry things that you can't carry. It's like this, you know, something might be so heavy that you can't lift it on dry land. But if you move it into water, you can move it around all day. God's grace is like when it floods your life, it makes it easier to lift things. It's like, you know, you've seen the YouTube videos of people that have accidentally driven their car into somebody's backyard in-ground swimming pool. And not that we should be entertained by such things. But they, you know, someone did something, they left the car in drive or something, and you know, they weren't paying attention. All of a sudden it rolls right through someone's fence and boom, goes plunking down right into the swimming pool. And that person quick gets out of the car, and there's one there I saw where they get out of the car and that car is sinking, and it's starting to almost pin them up against the wall, and they just push, and that car just moves over because it's now floating in water. Where on dry land, they could have never done that, but because it's flooded, it's moving easier. In the same way, when God's grace comes in and floods your life, things, there can still be trials, but they'll be easily moved out of the way. Glory to God. Great grace was upon them all. Verse 34. Neither was there any among them that lacked. Notice in the early church, 5,000 to 8,000 people, and poverty got kicked right out of the door. Poverty was strangled, it was eliminated, it was diminished in the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. People try to promote this idea that God would rather have his church impoverished. You're doing the devil's thinking then. Because in the early church, where the Spirit of God was moving, there was unity, there was joy, there was miracles, and out of 8,000 people, many of them came into the church poor. And then all of a sudden, in this day, it was just weeks. The Bible says now there's none of them that lack. None that lack. None that lack. That is the atmosphere of the Spirit of God. Nothing lacking. Every lack provided for. Why? Here's the part. Now, if you've got a religious spirit about you, you're going to hate the rest of this verse. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses, plural, sold them and brought the price of the things that were sold. Wow. We live in a day and a time where Christians think they're hanging the moon by tithing. But in the revival of the early church, God supernaturally moved upon the hearts of the church to start giving houses and lands. Wow. Now notice, God didn't tell them to give the only house they had to live in. He didn't say, give your house and go sleep in the dirt. That's not what God was saying. But so that must mean that they had surplus houses. They had rental properties, investment properties, farms, land, recreational properties, whatever it was. And we're always talking about the miracles of the healings, the miracles of signs and wonders, people being healed in Peter's shadow, all the miracles of the early church. Well, guess what? It wasn't just the miracles that they were receiving. How about the miracles of what they were giving? There's miracles that we receive, but how about the miracles that we give? We are going to see in the season ahead, not just in this church, not just here, that's not what we're saying, but we're going to see the days and times ahead, God is going to supernaturally make way for businesses. He's going to supernaturally make way for individuals, and he's going to move upon their hearts to do radical things in their giving that they've never done before. Amen. That people in this generation of Christianity will be shocked to hear about it. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I have a rental house right now. We're getting closer to paying that thing off. I'll tell you what, I would love to just break the ice and be the first one. Break the ice and be the first one. Praise the Lord. Why not? Why not? God is going to supernaturally move upon this generation. Why? Because every open door, every new season, every new revival is going to be funded with supernatural acts of generosity and giving. They said, hey, we're kingdom funders. We're kingdom builders. We understand that our surplus and our prosperity is for the sake of this move of God that is on this earth. And as many as were possessors of lands and houses, they said, we're not going to miss this season. We're not going to miss this open door. And say, you know, there'd be people that'll stand here and they'll leave here and they'll try to say, that pastor down there is preaching that we should give away our houses. No, that's not what I'm preaching. I'm preaching supernatural. Listen, I'm not putting a limit on it either way. I'm telling you, whatever that supernatural generosity is going to look like. But I tell you what, where have the Christians gone that did things like this? See, I look at the Bible and I think, God didn't write that just so I know the history of it. He wrote that so I look at it and say, why not me? Why not me? Say, well, pastor, you think you're a pastoral salary, you're going to be able to do this? Well, here's the thing. I'm not living off my pastoral salary. The Bible says that he meets and supplies my needs by his riches and glory. God's going to supernaturally start moving things into people's lives, whether it's through promotion in their jobs, through new businesses, through inheritances. There is going to be divine action that is going to benefit those that will participate. But see, notice, you got to have vision for it first. You say, well, I don't ever want to be one of those people. Well, then you'll never be one of those people. They'll never be. You say, well, pastor, I just don't daydream of that. I have vision for my vacation. I have vision for my new clothes. I have vision for this. Well, listen, I'll tell you what. When you pick up God's vision, he's going to make sure to put decent clothes on you. God's going to make sure you have a vacation that's the desire of your heart. But I'll tell you what, the first desire of my heart is for his plan and his purpose. Amen. And I, praise God. And when I say this, I don't say this in pride. It would be wrong for me to stand up here and preach this if I wasn't doing it. I don't say this in pride, but I am. And because it's safe for you as a congregation to know that I do not stand up here, preach this stuff without leading the way. Praise the Lord. I am willing and I am doing it. I am leading the way in the giving of this vision here. Praise the Lord. I'm not saying that in pride. I'm not saying that for any congratulations. I'm saying that so sheep know that they're safe here. Because the body of Christ has been riddled with preachers who do not practice what they preach. They want to see their ministries fully funded, but they themselves don't give towards it. Amen. Praise the Lord. And if you want questions, if you want to come up, if you want to ask me, you know, if you want to see what I give, the percentages I give, come and ask me. I will tell you, because I firmly believe that a church should have a pastor that's leading the way. And I just challenge you. Well, pastor, you just because you need to. No, listen, I'm a former school teacher, all right? I have a salary today that would be about equivalent to what a school teacher would make, okay? And so if you're just waiting to have some huge salary before you become generous, you might be waiting a while. You better break into new levels. Glory to God. Because people say, well, he just, you know, he has something somewhere. No. It's just a willingness. Yeah. And giving ain't given until it hurts. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, my goodness. Look at it. It's 10 minutes after 12. We often talk about the miracles of receiving. What about the miracles of giving? God is going to supernaturally move the heart of his people. He's going to increase businesses. You wait in these days ahead. He has gotten things out of the way in government so that it will be a blessing to the body of Christ. All right, and real quickly, we'll end here. The second thing that we're going to see during this season is lost fruit will be restored. Lost fruit will be restored. There are going to be family. There's going to be friends. There's going to be people that were once part of good Bible teaching churches like this one, that they lost their way, they backslid, they gave up on God, and God's going to move upon their heart, and they're going to say in their heart, I remember I was the happiest, I was the healthiest, I had the most joy when I was in the house of God. And God's going to move upon their heart, and they're going to come back. It's going to happen here. It's going to happen in any church that's preaching the gospel. You wait and see in the months and the years ahead. People that, you know, you loved, people that you saw them just disappear from your local church, they're going to show up. They're going to show up, and they're going to show up without any shame. And God's going to restore what they lost. I want to show you a scripture. Can you bring up Isaiah 61:7? This happened in the days of Israel. God told them that there was coming a season where the people will return and the fruit shall return. And he's talking about those that left, those that gave up on the plan of God and now want to come back. He's talking to those that are in that situation. God says, for your shame, you shall have double. And for confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. All right? Go to the Amplified. I want to show you the Amplified. We'll explain it a little bit better. He's saying, instead of your former shame that you had for leaving, you shall have a twofold recompense or a reward. He said, instead of dishonor and reproach and that shame and that guilt and dishonor and reproach from leaving, your people, the people in the around you, the people in your home church, shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double what they had forfeited. Double of what they walked away from. And he said, an everlasting joy shall be theirs. God's saying, I'm going to call the people. I'm going to call people that had abandoned the plan of God. I'm going to call them back into the fold. And when they get there, their shame won't be there. There will be no guilt. And he says, instead of their shame, I'm going to give them double. Glory to God. If God did that in the Old Testament, how much more is he doing that? And the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, I'm going to restore fruit. Amen. I'm going to restore fruit. It's going to be in churches like this one. Yes. All right? Praise the Lord. You're going to see families that you just thought, and then you're going to see them, and you're going to be like, it's so good to see you. We've missed you. We love you. You wait and see. Here's a third thing that's going to happen in this season, is that spiritual infants are going to come into the fullness of the Spirit. And spiritual growth is going to accelerate. People that are infants in Christ are going to come into the fullness of the Spirit, and they're going to walk in the Spirit of seeing and knowing a lot faster than they would have before. Spiritual growth is going to accelerate. People that you think, you know, there's people on your heart that you've been praying for, and you think they just don't get it. They just don't get it. They just don't get it. They're just so slow in learning and catching fire. All of a sudden, one day, they're going to jump in, and they're going to hit the fast forward. And you're going to watch spiritual infants grow up very quick. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So what's our part in this? Don't relax and lose courage. Don't give up on keeping on doing the routine things that you do every week for God. You know, you don't give in on going to church. You don't give in on your tithing. You don't give in on your serving. You don't give in on your praying. You don't give in on the Bible. You know what I mean? Or what I'm saying is you don't give those things up. Just stay faithful. Don't grow weary, because the appointed time is beginning. And there is something that is open over the body of Christ, and no man's going to shut it. We just got to make sure that we cooperate with it. Folks, in the weeks ahead, coming into this new year, I preached on this a couple months ago. There's going to be some things that we're going to be doing at this church that are different. All right? I told you about the kingdom builders. We're going to be getting together. We're going to be calling that group together. Anyone who just has a desire to fund the projects of God, and you'll get to know about it. Praise the Lord. And we get to participate in it. Praise the Lord. Also, in the weeks and the months of, ahead, we are going to be teaching on the keys to the move of the Spirit of God. Because what God wants to do on this earth are the same things that we're reading about in the books of Acts. He wants His Spirit to invade His people again. He wants a flow and an atmosphere of the Holy Ghost. And we're going to start teaching how to cooperate with that flow. Amen. You're going to learn the keys of the move of the Spirit of God and what your part is in that. Amen. And we're going to start you out, and we're going to move you down a progression, and you're going to accelerate in the spiritual growth and start to understand how the Spirit of God moves, how He moves and cooperates with us. All right? Because we're living in an era where He wants a supernatural church. Amen. But of course, just like any pastor, you know, with their seasons, you got to instruct on these things again. Did you get anything out of this today? Don't you be a forgetful hearer only. You got to participate. You got to, you know, because you don't want to miss this day that is on us. Amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. And just think, folks, just think. Right now, there are Christians in churches all over this region that are sitting there that wouldn't have been sitting there, but because you were faithful, they're there. They're hearing the Word of God today in Tonawanda. They're hearing the Word of God in Mayville. They're hearing the Word of God in Wellsville, right? They're hearing the Word of God in Erie. Hallelujah. They're hearing the Word of God on radio. They're reading the Word of God in the newspaper. They're seeing the testimonies on Facebook. Thousands and thousands of people are being touched because you didn't lose heart.